Good morning, brothers and sisters. Okay, we're awake. Thank you, worship team. I love singing truth to my heart. It's oftentimes, I'll admit, sometimes the music impacts me just as much, if not more, than the sermon. Grateful that we can sing truth to one another. Please grab a copy of the scriptures and turn to Revelation 17. And as you're turning there, please be in prayer for our teaching pastor, Mike, who's on his way back from Camp Barakel. We loaned him out. We loaned him out to Camp Barakel, and he spoke at a men's retreat this weekend. And we trust that the word of God and Pastor Mike was used richly. So as we get to Revelation 17, this is the truth I want us to cling to this morning. It won't be long. Saint, it won't be long. Full joy in Christ is coming. It's coming. We find ourselves in a series in Revelation where the Apostle John is here in these chapters describing the fall of Babylon. Now you may forget, but John is a pastor, and Pastor John takes these next chapters to encourage weary, discouraged, and persecuted Christians in the first century. And he does this by contrasting two cities, the city of Babylon and the city of New Jerusalem. So we enter in this section now, chapters 17 through 22, this final section of the book. And Pastor John is seeking to tell his readers, to tell us, okay, you're suffering now, but let me remind you that all is coming to a conclusion. Strive a little further, brother and sister. Let me show you, John says, a city that will be destroyed and burned and suffering with it. And let me give you a vision of a better city that awaits God's people, where true rest is found. So we come to our passage this morning, and we consider the burning of Babylon. And I get that from chapter 18, verse 9, where it says, they see the smoke of her, the city, burning. I would like to submit to you two realities that are revealed in the burning of Babylon. And the first one is this. The burning of Babylon reveals, brothers and sisters, it reveals God's faithfulness to his promises. Do you know that God always, 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 no cap, for you old people, that means I'm not lying. He always fulfills his promises. Now, that's an easy thing to pay lip service to on a Sunday morning. It is. Oh, God's promises are true. Yes and amen. And we can sing it. And we dressed up fairly nice this morning and we smile at each other. But the reality is oftentimes we find it difficult to truly believe that God fulfills his promises, that he's faithful. To feel it in our bones, in the midst of life, he is faithful. So take courage. Because as we read about a city that's going to be destroyed, it largely points to the character and the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And can I just encourage you, as you read your Bibles, to always have this at the forefront. What does this passage reveal of God's character? What do I see of him? Because I could figure out all the details and the cities and the arguments and have it all figured out. But if I miss who God is, then I've missed all of it. So Mike, he's been faithfully serving us through the book of Revelation. And he pointed out last week that the city of Babylon has an already but not yet aspect to it. Already, there's this sense in which the city of Babylon is a worldview. It's a mindset that we say that they saw permeated in their first century culture, surely in our culture, but also a future city that will be destroyed. Regardless of whether you understand it to be a current reality, a worldview, and or a future city, our prayer and our question is this of Psalm 94. Oh Lord, how long? How long, oh Lord, shall the wicked
exalt.
Well, read with me, please, in chapter 17, verses 15 through 18. And the angel said to me, the waters that you saw, where the prostitute is seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the 10 horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute, the city. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For, because God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. Now, there's a lot there, but let me give you the Reader's Digest version. The peoples, the kingly authorities, and the beast himself will turn on the city described as a prostitute. They'll turn on Babylon. The worldview, the lifestyle in the city that brought a measure of wealth, pleasure, temporary satisfaction, idolatry, has ultimately failed the people and the kings and the beast, and they turn on her. One commentator says, evil implodes on itself. But did you catch that phrase in verse 17? Look at it again. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose until the words of God are fulfilled. What purpose? What words? Now, Mike mentioned this last week, but it's good for us to be constantly reminded for us. There has been a cosmic battle going on since Genesis 3. Not since 2016, not since 2008, not since, someone was inaugurated in 2020, but there's been a cosmic battle, good versus evil, for all of eternity. The whole Bible is about this battle. Not against necessarily against just flesh, but principalities and powers in the air, spirits. And in Genesis 3, it's the offspring of promise. It's the woman, Eve, that will be in opposition to the offspring of the ancient serpent. So throughout the entire scriptures is a battle between God's people and the offspring of Eve. Evil, good versus bad. Michigan versus Michigan State. I'm from Minnesota, so I don't care, you know. But we want that. You know, we want to know that there's something going on here. There's a battle of good and evil. I see it in my world, and I need to know that God's going to do something about it. God has purposed for the destruction of the serpent, and not just him, but the worldview and the philosophy that he, Satan, has influenced, and that's depicted in the city of Babylon. Brothers and sisters, God has purposed a new city to usher in a new garden, and it necessitates the burning and the destruction of an old one, an evil one, a sinful one that's contrary to it. And it's not just Genesis 3, but let me read Jeremiah 51. Thus says the Lord, behold, look, I will stir up the spirit of a destroyer against Babylon. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance, the repayment that he is rendering her. Even Jesus, Mark 3. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. These passages find their fulfillment in Revelation 17. So God is putting it in their hearts, the kings, the peoples, the beast himself, putting it in their hearts to carry out the destruction of people who hate God and hate others, a worldview in a city that is contrary to him. And this is a fulfillment of the promises of old. God is faithful. Faithful to close a chapter on a book and a story that began long ago. Faithful to put away Babylon. Faithful to put away idolatry and immorality and violence and pride and rebellion and a worldview that doesn't simply corrupt our flesh, but the minds and the hearts and the souls of ourselves and the ones that we love. God's going to close the book and it's destroyed. God putting it in their hearts in verse 17 is good because it tells me that ultimately he's the one that's in control of the human history and circumstances that I find myself in. But look at chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen! Fallen is Babylon the Great. She's become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. And the kings of earth have committed immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Brothers and sisters, I need to hear that. I need to read that. I need to believe it's true. I need to know the great Babylon has fallen and will fall ultimately one day. God will not allow evil to continue. He's faithful to do what he said he would do, to destroy all that is wrong with the world. So true restoration, true peace, true satisfaction can be found. It's going to come. So how does the faithful and good character of God who destroys Babylon, how does that encourage first century readers and people like you and me today? Two ways. First, brother and sister, saint, it won't be long. Full joy in Christ is coming. You see, the early readers, these first century Christians, they found themselves in a culture that was contrary to the word of God and the commands of Christ. They found themselves in a culture where they were weary and they felt marginalized because they were attacked on many fronts. The government was wicked, their neighbors hated God, and the ones that they loved, their children, their friends, their coworkers, their extended families, the ones that they loved, were adopting Babylonian worldviews that treasured this life more than the next one. Circumstances, relationships, and their own fight against sin made these first century Christians weary, tired, and discouraged. So Pastor John, he pens a very interesting revelation that puts Jesus at the center. As Mike would say, Jesus wins. Press on. God is faithful. Now, we see real quick, don't we, that we're not very different from these first century readers. Some of their struggles, you're like, amen, 2021, I'm going through the same thing and the same things are around me that they saw. Brother and sister, press on. God is faithful. It won't be long. Full joy in Christ. It's coming. With your feet on the ground, your hands and your knees dirty and scarred, look up, look forward to the good character and the faithfulness of God. Are you suffering physically, financially? Are you dry spiritually? Do you have relational strife? Are you concerned about the world around you and the people in it? It won't be long. He is faithful. Babylon, Babylon will burn. But here's a second reason you need to be encouraged. the burning of Babylon, yes, it points to God's faithfulness, and we should be encouraged that human history will find its ultimate fulfillment. God will close the chapter on this book, and true restoration will come. But here and now, God's faithfulness is incredibly encouraging, not just for some future someday event, but for tomorrow, on another Monday. Tomorrow's Monday, right? And tomorrow, there's things like exploding diapers. I mean, it's true. They're out there. Things like difficult jobs and coworkers, physical, relational, financial strife. How about a world that's just bonkers? I mean, we all think we're the normal ones, right? Everyone else is messed up. But we see it in ourselves. I need encouragement that God is faithful, not just for a future someday, but for tomorrow. God is faithful to destroy the city and the worldview and the mindset at Babylon. And we see it here in a someday event. Brothers and sisters, this is already true in your life. At least in part, it's already true in your life. Authentic disciples of Jesus do not merely await a someday victory, but God, in his grace, is continually tearing down Babylon in our hearts as we are sanctified by the gospel. If you've forgotten, or if you feel dull, or if you're here and you're just exploring Christianity, this is a safe place. But what you need to be reminded of is that there's great grace in the gospel of Jesus, that he is faithful. And this is what the gospel offers, not just a ticket to heaven. But the Bible says that Jesus came and lived a perfect life, and he substituted it. He exchanged it for your and my imperfect, sinful life. So when he died on a cross and was buried and rose from the grave 3 days later, those who trust in him, those who cling to his promises, his character, and his person, they don't just get heaven. They get God's faithfulness on a Monday, on the burning down of Babylon in their hearts tomorrow. Because he's faithful to close the book on human history one day, you can know with certainty that he's faithful now. He is. He changes us. He makes us alive in Christ Jesus. He gives us a different worldview. He strips us of our self-sufficiency and pride. He destroys anger and violence and replaces it with the fruits of the Spirit. He burns down Babylonian thoughts, temptations, sins, and desires in us. As the young people would say, he does it on the daily. Every day, God is working on our hearts. God is faithful to his people in Christ. Do you see any Babylon in you? Here's how one song describes a life given to Babylon. You want to fight what's righteous. You won't hope for the hopeless. Your gospel says it all. You want to hoard the future, but in the moment you're tripping. Your world is going to fall. What do you know about grace? Burn it all down. Burn Babylon down. Brothers and sisters, may God, in Jesus' name, burn it down in our hearts first and foremost, for the sake of his name and for our joy, for his glory. He's promised to change us, to complete the work that he's already begun in us. He will do it. He is faithful. Take courage. It's true of your life. He has done it, and it'll keep happening. It will. And this is such an aid in the Christian life. So I've been thinking quite a bit this week about the burning of Babylon. So I experience this most when I'm driving on 52. I think I'm a very normal driver. Some of you guys are crazy. You get all upset because there's a stoplight on 52 and I got people just right on my tail. And there's this natural ugliness that comes out, and I want to give them a choice word or a certain finger. I mean, this one, you know, I want to point at them. But in the moment, whether it's anger or lust or greed or discontentment, what I've been finding myself doing this week is saying, God, will you burn it down? Burn Babylon down in my heart. Take those things, destroy them. Or if I'm desiring something that the Lord wouldn't have me have, Lord, would you help me to realize that even the good things in this life, they're going to burn. They don't last. The burning of Babylon, it reveals God's faithfulness to his promises. He is faithful. But the burning of Babylon, guys, it doesn't just reveal God's faithfulness. It also reveals our hearts and our allegiance. Now, in the person and the acts of Jesus, there are only two roads. You either love him or you hate him. I always think of the story of Mark 5, this demon-possessed man. Jesus comes in. He sees a man who's possessed by a demon, and there's this crazy story. He sends the demon into the pigs. The pigs go down the hill. They die. And there's two responses. Response number one is the people beg him. They beg him, please leave. Jesus, we want nothing to do with your power. We want nothing to do with your authority. We don't care what we saw. Leave. And the second response is those who are changed by Jesus, they beg Jesus, Jesus, don't leave. Let me come with you. So time and time again, when it comes to the person and to the work of Jesus, there's two responses. There's no in between. You beg him to leave because you don't want him to have authority over your life, or you beg to be with him because you love him more than anything. It's no different in Revelation 17 and 18. It's no different. Read with me, please, in chapter 18, verses 9 through 15. And the kings of the earth, who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her, will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, "Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon. For in a single hour, your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, probably essential oils on that. All kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots and slaves, that is human souls. The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you. And all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never, never to be found again. The merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud." So a way of life, a worldview, a sufficient, a self-sufficient, and a comfortable mindset in a city is destroyed. The first response we see is mourning, mourning. This is strange, isn't it? Babylon has been described as the prostitute, a place of selling herself to live in luxury, contributing to the rebellion, an ideology, as we see in chapter 17 and 18, an ideology that kills people and is drunk with the blood of saints and martyrs of Jesus. Listen to what one commentator says. Notice how their grief does not result from the injustice Babylon did. Their grief does not spring from the lives they ruined in alliance with Babylon. They do not grieve about the way they dishonored God and led others to do the same. But they are grieving. So why? Why are they sad? Now, remember, it was those in authority, the people, and the beast that turned on Babylon and destroyed her, imploded from the inside out. They destroyed her because this city, this mindset, this world system, it didn't produce for them like they thought it would. They ultimately became dissatisfied. And can I just remind you this morning, whether you're young or you're old, it doesn't matter. If you are considering or you are currently living a Babylonian lifestyle, can I just say there's nothing out there for you? There's not. There's nothing in the Babylonian way. The city of materialism, selfishness, rebellion, immorality, sexual deviance. There's nothing there for you. It will. My friends, it will implode on you. Not just in this life, but the next one. I read an article this week that was just shocking. Talk about a Babylonian implosion. So some of you may know this, but for 4 decades, the country of China had a one-child policy in much of the country. And it went something like this. You're allowed one child in much of the country. So there was this Babylonian mindset that all of a sudden started to champion abortion and preferring boys over girls. Mom's pregnant. It's a girl. Abortion. A Babylonian mindset that says, we are going to dictate our preferences. We're going to dictate the value of life on a Babylonian mindset. And it's imploded on itself. This article said that today. So this went from 1979 to 2015. One child policy. Today, 2021. There are 35 million single men of marrying age who literally cannot find a woman. Not because they're awkward and weird, and we know that men are. I mean, they got enough going against them, but they literally cannot find a woman. A Babylonian worldview and mindset and policy has imploded on itself. There's always consequence to sin. My friends, whenever we choose the Babylonian way, the worldview and the mindset, it always implodes on us. It always does. When our hearts chase this way, this worldview, when we chase this city, in the end, we're left disappointed. We're left hurt. We're left empty because it folds on itself. It can't last. It won't last. Maybe you're thinking of some Babylonian things in our culture right now. It can't last. It's going to implode on itself. It won't. It won't last. But, you know, these kings, these merchants, money wasn't their only issue. I mean, they got issues and they got money problems, but it's not the only one. Look at verse 18 of chapter 18. Verse 18 at the end says this. What city was like the great city? I believe that this is the saddest verse in our passage, and maybe one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. What city was like the great city? There's a comedian who used to start out jokes this way. You know you're a redneck if, and then he'd fill in the blank and everyone would laugh. Well, you know that you're a citizen of Babylon. You know you have a Babylonian worldview if you say, oh, this great city, this worldview, oh, it's great. See, these people, they have lived their lives with no grand vision for the celestial city that we read about in Pilgrim's Progress, for the new Eden or the new Jerusalem that we read about in the scriptures. They had no vision. Limited vision, certainly, but they couldn't see the beauty of another city. So they looked at this world, its values, its good gifts, comfort, luxury, their political preferences, their convictions, their vocations, and their life. And they say, this is great. I love this life. this country, this preference, this world. It's better than anything I can imagine. Maybe the saddest verse in the Bible. If Babylon is the greatest city in life and worldview that you can imagine, that is a dark, sad reality. And in the end, when Babylon is destroyed, when it implodes on itself, when it burns down, whether the Babylonian worldview or the city, the future city, they're left mourning. All their hope was in this life. They didn't have eyes to see the true hope of the next life. God, keep us from this kind of limited vision. Every heart that doesn't see the temporary, empty nature of this world will be disappointed. And don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that you shouldn't enjoy the good things of this life. God, in his kindness, has given some of you a measure of beauty and intellect and career, vocation, family, home. We are the richest nation in the world, and we are, in comparison, in relative nature to human history, filthy rich. God is so kind to us. We have good gifts we should celebrate. But if we come, and in verse 18 we say, oh, the great city. What city is like the great city? God, help us to hold loosely the joys that we experience in this life. And certainly the world and culture around us. But quickly, we do see another response to the burning of Babylon. It's not all mourning. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says this, rejoice, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has given judgment for you against her. There's rejoicing. When the things of this world are burned, God's people rejoice, not in some weird, sick way, but they do rejoice. Why? Why do they rejoice? Don't forget what Pastor John is doing here in this passage. He's at the beginning of contrasting two cities, a city that will be destroyed and won't fulfill your ultimate desires and satisfaction, and a great city, a new Jerusalem, where Jesus reigns. God's people rejoice in the burning of Babylon because their hope, their heart, and their ultimate allegiance is to the Lord. They're citizens of a new Jerusalem. Babylon, her ways, her comfort, her luxuries, and yes, even her good gifts. Well, the city's only temporary, my friends. Brother and sister, saint, it won't be long. Part of your joy in Christ will be your rejoicing in the burning of Babylon and evil, both now and in that final great day. Aim with purpose, aim to take time to rejoice when you see wickedness brought to justice, when you see darkness turned to light, when you see good instead of evil. We should be a people constantly rejoicing when good things come, when Babylon is burned. Can I ask you a question? It's a question I've been asking myself this week. How will you respond when Babylon burns? How we respond, it reveals our hearts and our allegiance. There are things in this life I'm likely holding on to too tightly. I know I am. Even good things that are temporary gifts, they're meant to point me to the ultimate gift in Jesus, but I'm down here because I just love it too much. There's a Babylonian mindset in my thoughts and my allegiances. I see it. I see it in my heart. When God graciously takes them down in my life, how will I respond? Our response shows us whether we enjoy God or this world most supremely. I want to say that I'll rejoice in verse 20 when Babylon burns. But if I'm honest, far too often I'm mourning because I want comfort, luxury, and I want my preferences. It's possible to Christianize our Babylonian leanings. We justify them. And just as a fish doesn't know it's wet, it's possible for a Christian to be baptized in the waters that give our heart and allegiance to the world and the things of the world that will eventually just be burned. Authentic disciples are confessors and repenters and continual believers. Lord, we confess that we have areas of our life that needs to be changed. We confess we need you to recalibrate our hearts and minds, that we would have full allegiance to a new Jerusalem, a future city, and not Babylon. Help us to turn away from it. Help us to believe that, God, you're enough now in this moment. If you see Babylon in your life, there's grace and forgiveness for you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so easy for us to beat ourselves over the head and we see Babylon and we're like, oh, I'm such a bad Christian. Look real quick at verse 4, chapter 18. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. Come out of her. In his grace, God calls you out of the city and this worldview before it's destroyed and you with it. Will you hear his call? Will you listen to his voice? Will you turn to him now? In his grace, we as authentic, imperfect, and flawed disciples of the Lord Jesus, we're continually being changed by the Lord. God is faithfully burning down many Babylons in us every day. We are growing in our desire for him and for his city. It's a better city. Saint, it won't be long. Full joy in Christ. It's coming. It's coming. Praise God that this is true of your life. And when the fullness of this comes in human history, when someday Babylon burns in human history, you and I, we're going to be part of this chorus. And this is what you and I are going to say. Revelation 19:1. After this burning, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, hallelujah. When I said that in the first service, a little baby, I think, said hallelujah. Everyone, like, yeah, preach, a little hallelujah. Even out of the mouths of babes, a multitude will be crying out, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. My brothers and sisters, that is our future. That is what waits you. And by God's grace, may we be authentic disciples of God. When we see Babylon burning, many Babylons in our hearts currently, in our culture, as we fight sin and as we long for the full burning of evil, may we say, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. He is faithful. The burning of Babylon means he's faithful to fulfill all his promises of human history. He's faithful to work in you. And the burning of Babylon, as you see it in your life and ultimately one day, it's going to show you your heart. May God give us great joy in putting our hope, not in the great city of this life, but in the celestial city of the next life. Pray with me. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, asking that you would continue this good work in us. God, burn Babylon down. Burn it down in our hearts. Would we be a people that long for your coming, that long for human history and evil and suffering to be laid aside, for the final chapter to be closed. God, would we be a people, when we see Babylon burning in our hearts, when wickedness and evil and sin fall by the wayside, as you have victory over them now and ultimately in the future, would we be a people that cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to you. God, would this be true of our life? Would you help Babylon burn even this week? In Jesus' name, amen.